the blowback of these events is they want to control our body. They want to control our immune system. They want to put a chip in us and COVID, you know, certificate of vaccine identification. Like, I know all that. But see, the thing is, they need us to want it. And because it's the top-down control. The higher up you go on this pyramid, the more you see little, tiny, weak, scared dudes. Like Bill Gates, you could give him a wedgie and throw him in a swimming pool with zero effort, you know?
Hey friends, thanks for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Before we begin this interview with Owen Benjamin, just a quick word from our sponsor, Identisafe. 14.4 million Americans fell victim to identity theft in 2018 with over $1.7 billion in damages. Now with the recent COVID-19 pandemic, fraudsters are on the prowl, and it's smart to protect yourself from an identity attack. Identisafe offers identity protection for as little as $9.99 per month. They provide access to credit monitoring, dark web scans, 24/7 identity agent support, real-time notifications, social security monitoring, change of address alerts, personal ID monitoring, white glove restoration, credit monitoring, credit score tracker, credit report, and up to $1 million in insurance, including a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't delay. Sign up today. It's free for 30 days. And again, they offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. So visit protectwithsgt.com for this special offer from Identisafe. Again, that's protectwithsgt.com. Don't fall victim to identity theft. I'll leave the link below this interview. All right, guys, let's begin with our friend Owen Benjamin. I've been following Owen's work for a very long time. He's so bright, talented, smart, funny. My teenage son is a huge fan. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm also a big fan. Owen, thank you so much for coming on. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. Yeah, I'm excited to be here as well.
Hey, Owen, I should just say, and I think I mentioned it in an email there to you, one of my teenage sons is a big fan. In fact, you're his favorite YouTuber, and he's gone down the rabbit hole. He went down the Rogan rabbit hole, and he's settled on you as his favorite YouTuber. And I have to say, I'm also a really big fan of the way you're raising your kids. You're doing it the right way.
That's awesome. And if your son's a fan of mine, then I'm guessing you raised him the right way too, because I crush. Just kidding.
You do crush.
But thank you, man. No, people have to retake their their family back from a lot of the mainstream ill that's happening out there, and it's really enjoyable to be around your kids and have a good family life, you know.
Well, it's just the way you live your life, man. You've got the property, the farm, the animals. It's just such a healthy way to live, and I have to say I'm envious. And the other thing is that you're so optimistic, and I know people love that about your approach. You sort of use comedy as medicine.
Oh, yeah. It's sometimes with some of the things that people have to face these days, you have to make the humor of it feel better than the pain of acknowledging the reality of it. And there's almost like an electrical circuit that's created when you can do that. When the pain of acknowledging a lie or acknowledging something horrifying in society, if you make the laughter feel better than the pain hurts you, you can get people to leave their pit, you know? and I've always loved that when people can do that with me. I've always been a huge fan of comedy, and the fact that I can, that it seems like comedy can help people not only survive these days, but thrive in them. I feel honored to be able to do that for people.
Well, let me ask you about fear. It's just a big spell that's been cast. I mean, you know that, I know that, the audience knows that, but I think the spell is being broken. It just seems to me the only people under the spell now are older folks, you know, retirement-aged folks. I mean, from my vantage point, young people like my son, they're not buying this nonsense at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of young people have a great future ahead of them because I think they've seen... I think that a lot of the cabal's infrastructure of control is breaking up because the lies on top of lies on top of lies just don't function properly. You know, you saw that in the Soviet Union, that it gets to a point when the lies are so absurd that the youth are just are capable of saying the emperor has no clothes, because the amount of energy, you know, it's like the Tower of Babel, like how much energy had to go into every brick towards the end there. Like, unless you're constantly lying and constantly brainwashing the youth, which I don't believe that the system has that energy anymore, people can just see through stuff very quickly. Like, it's intuitive to know men and women are different. You know, it's intuitive to know that, like, some of these obvious things, that you want to eat healthy food. You know, it's intuitive to know that murder is wrong. And so, you know, we're seeing such a logos rising, as E. Michael Jones says, in the youth, because they weren't brainwashed by Kennedy and then the moon landing and then, you know, Tavistock music and all this stuff culminating in these people that they really are part of a world that doesn't exist in reality too much. And that's what's making them scared, because, you know, I'm very tall. So when you're growing quickly, you know, you don't remember how long your arm is. I know that sounds crazy, but when you hit a hard growth spurt, you're like, I don't know if I can play dodgeball today, man. I'm not quite aware of where my limbs are. I think that that causes fear, where people are like, I don't have stability right now. I don't know where my food comes from. So when someone says the shortage of food, I'm freaking out. You know, I don't know how, what to do with my ass without toilet paper, man. I got to buy all the toilet paper, you know? And so I think one of the things that allows me to be more mouthy with people is I have chickens and goats and stuff, because I've been quarantined now for 4 years. So I became quite used to at any minute having somebody take away my livelihood or my food sources. So, it really isn't scary. You just have to accept the responsibility of being at least partially outside of Babylon. And then the world gets much more beautiful, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, I said in a video not too long ago, Owen, you know who's surviving this intact? The Amish.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the Illuminati Amish. You get it. You get it.
Well, I mean, if you're off-grid and you're self-sufficient and you're not watching the mainstream media, this spell doesn't work on you, right? So that's the thing. The spell's being broken, thankfully. And you mentioned E. Michael Jones, who I'm a big fan of. I literally just ordered his book, Logos Rising, the other day, and I paid the $60 to have a signed copy. So it's serendipitous that you just mentioned E. Michael Jones. So were you on his show, or was he on with you, or how did that work?
Not with me. I mean, we're friends. When I just, I did this tour recently, not that recently, I guess it's October. I went to Indiana, and I, you know, it's very hard for me to get booked in clubs and theaters that are now all closed, because that's how God works. It's very interesting how the world works, but he came out, and we hung all night, and he has a better understanding of comedy than I think most Hollywood comedians. Like, he understands just how it works and all that, and he's a wonderful man. And so to see him, because he's been in quarantine for 40 years, because he was against abortion as he was teaching at a Catholic college, and little did people know that these grabbles have been happening forever, this hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. They fired him because he was very anti-abortion. And so, you know, from the sweat of his brow, he made Culture Wars magazine and just maintained his world. And because he did that, he is also a fearless guy. Not without fear. I mean, we all have fears, but like, he's kept his voice. And so he's a wonderful man just to be around. And I've had the pleasure to be around him in person, and he does not disappoint. Dude's a legend.
Yeah, well, I've got so much respect for him and you and all of the truth tellers out there. And you know what? He makes a point in a recent video about pornography being used as a weapon. And he reminded me of history that I had long since forgotten. And it was about the Israelis invading Palestine and taking over the broadcast TV stations and only flooding the broadcast TV with pornography. So if you were trapped in Palestine and you wanted the news and you turned on your TV, you were getting flooded with pornography. And E. Michael Jones makes the point that porn is a weapon. You've made the same point in the past. And the part Jones drives home is that right now in Italy, people on lockdown are being given free subscriptions, free HD subscriptions to one of these porn sites to quote unquote help them get through the coronavirus lockdown. So again, time and time and time again, we can see their same playbook being rolled out, once against the Palestinians, now against the Italians, well, against all of us across the whole world, right?
Yeah, and as someone who watched pornography for a good chunk of my life and now haven't for a few years, because and he helped me with that a lot too, to see it as a weapon and not a naughty indulgence. You know, it's harder for me to not eat, you know, I sometimes eat like too many brownies or something, but I'm trying not. But when you see something as a weapon against you, you know, then you start being like, oh, that's not coming in my head anymore. And he wrote a whole book about it called Libido Dorminati, where it's about the oligarchs using sexual liberation as a control mechanism. And it's once you see it, it's so true. It's insane. You know, Rolling Stone said being against pornography is anti-Semitic. And so we're seeing the wheels on the bus falling right off. And I think it's a beautiful time to be alive, because, you know, people are just being faced with more and more absurdities to help them wake up and help them see. And the thing the truth community, I think, could really benefit from is not just being aware of the lies, but figuring out how to grow. Like, moving forward, not just, constantly being surprised and constantly being shocked at the horrors of life, to accept it and say, yeah, that's expected now. Like, I now expect that, mainstream media is 100% manipulation. And so what do I do now? I turn it off. I now understand that pornography is a weapon that has been used militarily and tactically in the past. So what do? I turn it off. I don't just watch porn all day being like, just whacking off, being like, I can't believe how disgusting these people are. It's like, you got to move forward. And then once you do that, you realize the world has been so much more beautiful and so much more rewarding this whole time. You just have to face that initial flood of pain and reality to get there,
Yeah. Well, they've lied to us about everything, and you've gone there. Like, literally everything, man.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that horrifies people. When you actually go far enough down the rabbit hole, the part that scares you isn't the fact that they're using the coronavirus to take our liberties and to, usher in more authoritarian top-down control, according to that 2010 Rockefeller document, page 18, lockstep. The part that frightens me, man, and kind of horrifies me is the fact that they've lied to us about everything. And so it's not the coronavirus that scares me. It's what they want to do to humanity, the stuff going on behind the scenes, their dark plot against humanity. That's the part that's appalling, and that's the part that'll keep you up at night, not the coronavirus.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah, it's the thing that keeps you up, that keeps me up at night a little bit. Hey, Georgie, relax. is that so many people want the pain to go away, so they're willing to beg for their enslavement. It's also, here's the good news. The good news is they're not going to do anything to us. We have to ask for it. And I'm starting to realize that, because if you look at 9/11, I was even banging the war drum at the time because I was so oblivious to the way the world works that I said, wow, these 19 hijackers with their box cutters just attacked America. So let's go get those poppy fields in Afghanistan for the next 20 years. I really did. I just believed it.
Yeah.
And so now what you're seeing 20 years later after 9/11 is people are very wary to start wars. And so because we don't believe our government anymore, that if we just fly into Iran and bomb a bunch of villagers, somehow we're going to be safer. And I think the blowback of these events is they want to control our body. They want to control our immune system. They want to put a chip in us and COVID, certificate of vaccine identification. Like, I know all that, but see, right. The thing is they need us to want it. And because it's the top-down control, the higher up you go on this pyramid, the more you see little tiny weak, scared dudes like Bill Gates. You could give him a wedgie and throw him in a swimming pool with zero effort, And so he requires all this consent to be like, give me the shot, give me the chip. I want you to take care of me because I'm scared. And so if you're capable of saying, I'm good, they leave you alone. I've noticed this because food is becoming really toxic. And so I'm facing the reality of that with 20 goats and 100 chickens and all. And it's hard to slaughter chickens, man. Like, it's not a good time, but you get better at it, and it's very rewarding, and you have control of your food, and there's no heavy metals in our food and stuff. And it's really opened my eyes to, like, okay, if you don't want Monsanto, great. You have to wake up around sunrise and go to sleep after sunset and really enjoy your day planting and growing and stuff. And if you do that, they don't kick in your door and make you eat a bunch of shitty lettuce, but there's a responsibility to it. And for every action that they're doing, there's the blowback of, like, we want to pump you full of toxins and chips and take away your right to do all. You can't go to public school unless you have mercury injected into your veins. And I was like, well, then my kids aren't going to public school. And they're like, all right. And that's what I'm seeing. And for people that want to just say, oh, Owen Benjamin, he's just rich, he can do all that stuff. My profession is a ostracized artist. So no, I'm not just rolling in cash. And so the more responsibility you're willing to take, the more they back off. And that's a beautiful thing, but it's also intense. Like, you're going to have to see some blood in your food. But you get more peaceful and you realize how much control you actually have and how so much of this draconian stuff is being begged for, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I'd point out to folks, the glimmer of good news, is if you go to Bill Gates' Instagram page, he can't delete the negative comments fast enough. Let me do a screen share here. And guys, I apologize for my audio. I mean, honestly, I've been probably more excited about this interview than any I've done in a while. And of course, today my audio isn't working right. So I think you guys are... Well, it's coming through on my end. It's just my my laptop mic. But anyway, let me do a screen share here. So here's the thing. I'd written down a note before you came on, and it was this. If I were Lester Holt, the most trusted man in news, I would get this guy on. New York ER critical care doctor Cameron Kyle Sedell, who says COVID is not a pneumonia. And we're not treating it correctly. It's more like a high altitude sickness. The patient's muscles still work. They can breathe on their own and they don't need ventilators, which are so invasive and damaging to the lungs. They need assistance getting air. So oxygen masks, CPAP or BiPAP, but they're not allowed to be used for fear it will spread the virus. This is insanity. So who does Lester Holt have on and who does CNN and CBS promote? This monster. Pushing his vaccine. And he tells us we all need to shelter in place and keep our businesses shut down for 18 months while this lunatic works on a vaccine. I mean, it's just insane, man.
And look at the thumbs down. The beauty is, you know, trust your fellow man. It's like, I think there's going to be a continuation of wheat and chaff where it's like, you're going to have, right there, you got 8,200 people being like, yes, I want this monstrous computer programmer who's openly a eugenicist pump things into my body. 15,000 actively were like, no. And bear in mind, and that's not including all the people that have left YouTube or been kicked off a lot of platforms. You know, their big AI data is not accurate. You know, they're supercomputers that are acute. Y'all, do we have consent? Let's check the Facebook algorithms and Twitter. You know, half of us have been kicked off all those platforms for saying what we actually believed. And so now their data is all off. And so they're going to naturally continuously overdo everything because Bill Gates is a little twerp. He's just a scared little twerp, you know?
Well, he's also an avowed globalist and a eugenicist. And his father was what? The head of Planned Parenthood at one point. Yeah. I mean, you take a look at some of the research that people have done about that family. Boy, there's been some good documentaries done about him.
You want to see his most exposed documentary, watch his own TED Talk.
Yes.
Where he says, if we get vaccines right, we can lower the global population by 15%.
Yeah.
That would be the greatest mass murder. That would make Genghis Khan look very mellow. Like, you know, so that's all people need to see. And a lot of people are quote unquote asleep just simply because they don't know this stuff. Like a lot of people aren't exposed to channels like ours because of just the series of their life. And so now these things are helping with the awakening of consciousness because it's finally hitting their door where it's like, wait a minute, I can't be a landscaper because somebody has what? And so you're going to get people covering their face with the shame masks and freaking out. But I think the psychological reality of that is they don't want other people to see their fear. And then you just see other people not doing that. And there's going to be pain and there's going to be economic problems and there's going to be fear. But in the end, it's a birthing process. You know, I think we're going to be better off for it.
Yeah, I think so too. We just have to get through to the other side. I was listening to a video from Bards of War just yesterday, and he mentioned the book of Zechariah. He said that's about turning back to God. Would the Israelites do so? Would they turn back to God? And this is the time people need to turn back to logos,
yes.
Turn back to the source code, turn back to God, because the people that stand against humanity, people like Bill Gates, the Bilderbergs, Club of Rome, the Queen of England, all of these deep state, the Rothschilds, the central bankers, they all stand opposed to logos and humanity. And it's never been more clear, has it? I mean, isn't it becoming obvious now?
Well, I think there's cycles in history, but I think this is pretty much the end of their cycle right now because... Yeah, it's never been more obvious. It's not people like me would have been put in a padded room in the 70s for pointing out Steven Spielberg has questionable imagery in his movies, you know?
Yeah.
So as much as it seems like things are getting scarier and more perverse and more stable and clown world is rising and all that, it's also simply the reaction to people seeing it. And so a lot of these CFRs and Bilderberg stuff, like this is one insight I have from being a comedian for so many years, is like I've done events where I entertain the American nobility, basically, where, you know, I've done events where I've done stand up for all the owners of sports teams or the people who own the Kentucky Derby or something. And so I've gotten to be around a lot of these people, and the higher up you go, the more it's fear and empty vessel type people, with some exceptions. Some are genuinely just trying to be good dudes, but it's not like they don't have more power, and it's almost impossible to explain to people because our programming is so based around, like, if you have $1 billion, you have so much power. If everyone knows your face, you have all this power. Like, a guy like Bill Gates is not aware. I don't know. I can't speak on Bill Gates. I don't know him. But a lot of these people are not aware of any of their actions. They're simply putting out fires every day to maintain their position. And when you're dealing with liars and thieves and people that are so material-based and so based outside of logos, they're constantly trying to cannibalize each other, and they can't rely on anything. So the amount of energy that they expend to just keep these lies and scams going, it's almost like somebody robs a bank with two other dudes, and the rest of their life they have to manage those two dudes to not tell anyone. You know, like, right. All their energy. Think about all the energy that's expelled. Be like, so how's Mark these days? Oh, he's cool. You know, he's been drinking a lot lately. It's like, how drunk has he been getting? I don't know. He's just drinking. Is he brought up anything? You know. So then you have to murder your buddy, and then you have to cover up the murder. Like, that's the thing. That's what you saw with Hillary Clinton. It's like the backpedal of evil. It gets to a point when every moment of every day is just putting out fires, silencing people, make it look like someone committed suicide. Right. And that's exhausting. And so if you live a more honest, logos-driven life, that's why I can do long streams. I can play music by ear and all this stuff where people look at me like, wow, you're so talented. I'm like, dude, my mind... Because I have such a great wife who handles all our, like, bills and paying stuff and our kids and cooking and all that, and I don't have scams going or lies going, I can just focus all my mind on just, like, playing a Pink Floyd song. And people are like, how do you do that? I'm like, because my processor only has one app open. If you're Hillary Clinton or Bill Gates, you're just like, yeah. Oh, my God. You know, because there's no love. There's no honor amongst thieves. Like, everybody, all Bill Gates' people around him, they'd slice his throat to get what he has. And he knows that. So it's terrible. It's a terrible world they live in. And the more people see that, the more they don't have the fear. They're not like, they're coming to get me. It's like, that dude probably is scared to get out of bed. Like, and so that's, hopefully that helps people understand that.
Yeah, it's while you were talking there, I remembered one of the channels I wanted to shout out. Really Graceful has done excellent work, documentaries on Bill Gates and so many other things. So that's what that was the name of the channel I was trying to come up with. And True Stream Media has done good work too. Yeah, these people, awesome. True Stream Media.
Yeah.
Aaron and Melissa, they're just wonderful. They're so cool. Yeah. The thing that occurs to me is that these people, the deep state, the liars, Bill Gates, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. Their lies just compound upon themselves. Their lives are built upon lies upon lies upon lies upon lies, and it gets so hard to keep the narrative straight when all you do is lie.
Right.
You know, they couldn't get away with it if it weren't for the mainstream media supporting them. That's really, you want to talk about fear? That's the other thing that really bugs me and keeps me up at night. This mainstream media is horrifyingly propagandist and in the pocket of the deep state.
Yes. Their currency is trust, and so that's their Achilles heel. So it's the bank and trust. They only have power with trust. So if you see CNN or Fox News, that's why a lot of the truth world is in such a painful position, because we see what they are, but unless you completely disengage, which is a painful process, and then you're around people and who just keep quoting Lester Holt and all this stuff, you have to be like, that's a rabid raccoon. Like, that is not to be listened to. And the more you just exclude that from your life, the more it doesn't plague you as much. But it's an absurd position we're in. I understand. I'm not trying to downplay all that stuff. But, like, it's getting to the point where the only way out is just leaving it. as much as possible because it's so unstable. You know, what you just described, you know, a lie upon a lie upon a lie, if this was construction or carpentry, this is almost like, it's almost like looking at modern art verbally, where you see these lopsided buildings and they call it beautiful. It's because someone lied about the first square of the foundation and then someone lied about the next layer. And then by the time you're on the fifth floor, it just looks like it's about to fall over. And that's why liars can't build big buildings, you know?
No, I agree 100%. And, you know, modern art is generally ugly art, but they tell us it's beautiful. And what sparked the thought, and I was typing to search for it as you were talking about that, is E. Michael Jones' recent video about Salo, that sadistic, perverse Italian fascist film that was made, which essentially showed everybody what these sick elite actually do behind closed doors, right? They only endorse homosexual sex, perversional sex, feeding literal human feces to their wives. I mean, this is the stuff that was displayed and showed in that movie, but it really ties into the stuff that we've learned about through the Podesta email leaks, the DNC email leaks. By the way, guys, his name was Seth Rich and they whacked him for it. These people are so evil and so depraved. And that's what we were learning from the whole Pedigate thing.
That's something that you learn when you look at these people is how abusive they have to be. Abusive isn't even the right word. They are to their own children because they're trying to prepare them to live in their world, which is void of human compassion and empathy. Because if they, I heard this hilarious story. I don't even know if this is true, but a Rothschild wanted out and he wanted to just be a cowboy.
Yeah.
And they sent a bunch of people to go bring him back. And he was like the black sheep. He's like, I just want to be a cowboy. So there's a purpose for their deranged behavior. It's because if you're a normal person, if you're like, I'm proud of my son for, you know, for doing this puzzle, or I really want to have a nice dinner with my wife. Isn't she beautiful? That's going to get you killed. You know, that's why they're so insane. They're like, okay, if you don't have the will to murder your own baby and eat it, like you can't handle some of these secret societies because you'll just be like, it's a race downward. It's upside down. It's like the more disgusting you are, the more power you can get because you vacated your soul.
Right.
And so when people like us learn about their lives, they lose even more power because they're like, just imagine being Hillary Clinton. Like imagine having to be a part of like Haiti and all this stuff. Like there is no human drive to be so sadistic with children outside of vacating your soul, you know, like trying to destroy that which makes you human so that you can keep power. It's really a disturbing existence. And the more people reclaim their own power and their own ability of growing and learning and how little these people actually have power over us if we just fucking bail on them, the happier people will get. And there has to be almost, I don't know, psychologically it's very hard to do that, but it's just getting wild. Like I think the information age has really unleashed a lot of stuff in society. I think that's why people wear masks, because I think when you read the Podesta stuff, there's just, they don't want anyone to see their face anymore because they don't know how to handle it. They're so full of shame for giving money to Hillary or, you know, that they just want to cover their face. I don't know, man. It's a wild time to be alive.
It is a wild time to be alive. And I think the Great Awakening is real. Okay. Yeah, I truly believe humanity was winning. So these demons played their plandemic card. That's really how I view this thing. But people are waking up to the plandemic card too. So you're right. The only way we lose our freedoms is if we allow our freedoms to be taken, right?
Yes.
And that's where we have to put our foot down. And I just want to circle back to the Pedogate thing. Everybody listening, please, if you get the chance, go to YouTube and go visit Mouthy Buddha. He's working on a part two. I think it's a Pedogate part two video. His Pedogate part one is absolutely must watch. And I just bring it up, Owen, because, you know, part of my great awakening, probably for everybody, was learning about 9/11, you know, discovering World Trade Center 7. They never showed that on the news. Why would they omit that? Then you go down that whole rabbit hole and you're horrified to think, wait a minute, not only is there more to the story here, this thing was done on purpose. And the good guys, the people that we think are the good guys, were probably involved. Not yeah. Al-Qaeda, not 17, 18 guys with box cutters, not Osama bin Laden hiding in a cave. He couldn't get NORAD to stand down.
No, 19 guys with box cutters. They love that number. Yeah, anyway, go on.
Yeah. So, you know, the point is that you're horrified by that. But then you realize, because you ask yourself, once you wake up to 9/11, you say, well, how could people be so evil? Well, sure, there's that Machiavellian component to, well, it was for the greater good, blah, blah, blah. I don't buy any of it. But then you realize, because of the Podesta emails, and you go into the Comet ping pong thing, and you go down the Pedigate trail, and you realize, no, it's far worse. It's far worse than what they did on 9/11. What they're capable of doing to other human beings is sick, and it helps explains why they were capable of doing what they did on 9/11 and why the mainstream media covers it up. Just like CNN says regarding Comet ping pong, there's nothing to see here. It's all been debunked.
Oh, yeah. Once you see once you knock over one tile, the whole thing just starts falling apart. And I think the way it happens is so many people involved in the machine they're not even aware of what is really happening, you know. And that's one of the covers they have, you know. As somebody who's worked in Hollywood, and I know people who've been in the military or people who have, you know, nurses and doctors and stuff. It's the same with NASA. One of the covers is they say, "Well, my uncle was an engineer for NASA. He's good, therefore NASA's good." It's so delineated. The structure is so separated that you can have a nurse injecting this shit for a 30, 40 year career and be someone's mother and a very good person. And so that will then plant more chains in people. You know, like people who knew me or know me, you know, I was on a sitcom and they know I'm a good dude. And so they're like, "Oh, Hollywood can't be that bad of a place. I know Owen, he's great." And so I was even part of that where I was like, you know, everybody I know is cool. And then you start seeing a glimpse. For me, it was the transgender child movement. I was like, wait a minute, you guys are okay. Wait a minute, kids? And so when you saw the mechanism clamp down and all the people, it's not because they want to inject five-year-olds with hormones. It's because they don't want to lose their nectar. They don't want to lose their status. It's the ritual of the pedestal. You know, it's what they did with the firefighters after 9/11. The heroes. Now they're doing it with nurses. So it makes it so firefighters can't be like, "Yeah, I don't think it was what you guys think it is," because they don't want to lose that juice. And so that's why this is possible, because you see these massive machines like the military. We all know Marines that are good guys. And then you see what really happens in Afghanistan, you know, Hollywood, all this stuff. And that's how it can happen, because so many people don't see how it can happen. They're like, "How can this lie be perpetrated? My uncle was part of NASA." And it's like, your uncle sat in a cubicle thinking he was putting people on the moon, and he wasn't. And that's fine. Like, there's nurses that have injected tens of thousands of Bill Gates vaccines thinking that they were protecting people from whatever. And that's how this thing works. And then the people that are aware, way up the pyramid, rely on us vouching for each other and say, "Oh no, my cop friend is good, therefore it's all good." And so the more aware people get, the less scary it is, because you realize how few people have to be truly evil. It's more about compliance and people not wanting to feel pain or social ostracism. You know, a cop, simply a couple arrests for like weed, that they're like, "That's weird." It doesn't put them over the edge. You know, it doesn't make them say, "Oh, I'm going to take a stand. I'm not doing this." You know, but now you're seeing cops taking a stand. You're seeing sheriffs saying, "I won't arrest a mother in a park," because they overplayed. You know, it's like the Great Awakening's happening, so they go more draconian. Yeah. And that makes more Great Awakening, because, you know, a cop can be, because of DARE programs and all that, you can say, "Oh, if you have weed, I'm going to take your car." I know that sounds a little crazy, but kind of makes sense for my worldview. If you handcuff a mother for playing catch with her kid in a park, there's very few cops that aren't like, "Wait a minute, what is this?" And that's what happened to me in Hollywood. And I was okay with things that I'm now not okay with, just basic stuff. Like, I used to think that gay marriage was freedom for homosexuals. I now realize the agenda of that and all that. But once you hit that point, trans kids, I was like, "Okay, this is a hill I'm dying on." And I was repped at CIA. I was repped at all these places. And like, and then you see the truth community be like, "Oh, you can't trust him because he was in Hollywood." It's like, yeah. Well, what are you waiting for then, pal? Like, so you don't want a whistleblower. You don't want someone to help you understand what the system is.
I know, and man. So Well, that's like that Dutch. It's like that Dutch banker whistleblower. I think his name's Ronald Bernard. Were you not going to listen to him about Luciferians sacrificing children at the highest levels because he was a banker? No, he's a whistleblower. No, we need insiders. We need truth tellers like you, obviously.
Oh, exactly, and that helps, and that's like a way to do cover for the elite. Is when someone is here to actually explain it and say, "Oh yeah, this is what I saw. This is how I think it works. I work for them." And then they shut that down. You're like, oh, so you have a no-win situation. You just want to be scared. And that's cool. You know, that's cool with me if people are like that. You know, it's like, but if you look at like someone like me, like my life is very trackable. I've been very public and very open about everything my whole life. And if somebody is like, oh, that's an agent, I'm like, all right, man. And then I just see someone who likes being scared, and that can be addictive too, you know, cortisol. I get it. I got compassion for that.
Dude, that's funny. Yeah. Well, that is the funny thing about if somebody doesn't agree with you, they'll call you an agent or a shill. And it's just such nonsense. You know, I'm just a guy with a journalism degree. I worked in TV production for 15, 20 years. People know this about me if you followed me long enough. And what I like to say, Owen, is that judge the tree by the fruits it bears. It's just that simple. I mean, it's easy to find out who the agents and the shills are when you watch their crap over time, because their narrative never changes, because they don't take new inputs to give you new outputs. They just continue with the same BS.
Exactly, man.
One way to look at it.
I think so many of the shills aren't even aware of it. I think they're slaves to their appetites, where they know that if they cross a certain line, they don't get their lollipops and their fancy pants. And they just do. It's a liability to explain to someone that they're a shill. Like, if you are a deep state organization, like let's say you're Club of Rome, and you're like, I'll get this channel to be a shill. It's like that person now can tell everybody that they were a shill. Like, let's say it's like covering your tracks. It's like if you commit a crime with two other guys and one starts drinking, it's like they can then tell people that. It's way more efficient if you just make cuts and edit. You know, that's what happened to me in Hollywood. It was just like they keep promoting you. If you don't ask certain questions or if your lifestyle fits with the narrative, as soon as you break from that, you're gone. You know, your name is not spoken. You are a bigot, racist, homophobe. And so at no point did someone say, hey, buddy, we're going to give you this money if you simply go around with this. They're editing. They're always editing. And then that's why the control of the media is so horrifying, because they're giving people the narrative. And so if they simply take someone out, you know, it's like, why has no one blown the whistle on blah, blah, blah? It's like, well, they have. They just don't tell you on the news.
Right.
And since your worldview is based on the news, you don't know how many nurses and doctors, you know, like Dr. Kaufman I had on my stream recently, who's went to MIT and Duke and stuff, and is openly like, the virus narrative is totally wrong. You'll never see that on CNN because they edit. And so that's how this whole pyramid of power works. They just... if you ask the wrong question, or if you aren't agreeing with their sin, if you're not laughing along at the abortion joke really hard, oh, Amy Schumer, it's so funny, you almost murdered your baby. They look at you like, why aren't you laughing? It's very crazy, man, not looking back. But if you get out of that pyramid, you're not trapped by it. There's a beautiful world out here, you know? Let's get some chickens.
Yeah, some chickens. Hey, I want to be respectful of your time. How much time you got left? You good?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask you a few more things, so I don't want to hog all your time today. You mentioned NASA.
My schedule, it's so funny. Back in the day, it would be all these interviews or traveling for shows. My schedule now is based on bottle feeding goats. So I got a little time before I have to bottle feed the new goats.
Well, I was listening to your new one, I think, today, and sorry about the passing of Toby, but you mentioned the fact you get up every day at 4:30 in the morning. Is that right?
Oh yeah, man. That's the thing. It's like, freedom requires responsibility. There's animals that need to be fed, and there's stuff that needs to be done, that if I don't do it, things die. And so if you want to be free from Monsanto, if you want to be free from the beast, you got to toil in the fields, you know, but it's fun. It's like, you learn so much about the world just looking at goats, you know, like Gotham and Batman, that means goat pen, you know? So
I didn't know that.
You understand how the elites view us, where they tempt you, you eat the grain, and then they get behind you and they milk, and then they cull the herd and they do all this stuff. And you're just watching this like, oh, this is how it works. And you can be a good farmer, you can be an evil farmer, you can be a sadist like a lot of these people. It's really interesting stuff, and it's painful sometimes. Like Tubi's not dead. We gave her to an adoption place because she's gonna help clear fields. But yeah, you're gonna have to kill animals that you care about. I love animals, but it's like that's where meat comes from, and the more you offload that responsibility to these giant farms, the more the animals are mistreated, and the more it's the circles and cycles of life are fascinating, you know.
Yeah, they are. All right. Well, good news. Tubi the goat's still alive. All right. Well, that's good news. All right. Well, you mentioned NASA. Let me do a screen share here. Where is it? You've probably seen these Masterclass commercials. So this one is of astronaut Chris Hadfield.
Okay.
And there's not a more smarmy guy alive, right? He literally says, you don't fly a rocket ship on faith or something like that. And it's just horrible. And then in that spot, and this isn't that same spot, I couldn't find the exact same spot, he does this Freemason double finger cross. Cause he says, oh yeah, you can't cross your fingers and hope for the best when flying a rocket ship, something like that. And he's got this double finger cross Freemason thing going on. I just bring it up because I think NASA is one of the keys to waking up to some degree. Would you agree? What's your take on NASA at this point?
Oh, 100%, man. It's the dream machine. It's like, NASA has sold this narrative of fake accomplishment, fake, just, and they keep just trying to stoke the fear. Oh, another asteroid's coming and it looks like it's wearing a mask. The minute they said Uranus smells like farts, I was like, all right, this is great. You know, I've almost started appreciating their absurdity because it's like, you know, that's why they don't let me places. Cause if he said, oh, rocket ship isn't based on faith or something, I'm like, no, it flies on lies, huh? And then people would laugh and then they would see what it was, but that's why they don't let me places. But, yeah, I mean, think about all the, psyops around NASA, even just saying I'm no rocket scientist. It's like, I think being a farmer means you're smarter than a rocket scientist, you know, like even just the implanting of seeds of the ultimate intelligence is being a rocket scientist. I'm no rocket scientist, but I know a thing or two. It's like, yeah, most rocket scientists think that a guy named Buzz drove a freaking car on the moon. They're retards, you know?
Dude, that's what I've always said. I think to me that's the smoking gun of the moon landings is the lunar rover, the dune buggy. I can't think of anything more preposterous to bring with you to the moon than that. And then that's incredible. There's no way that stands up to scrutiny.
And the guy's name was Buzzed, and he did have a drinking problem. And also, the very capsule, if you look at it now, and you look at it, and you go, that looks like a meth head's tree fort.
Dude, I saw it at the Smithsonian a few years ago. We took our kids to Washington, D.C., and it's appalling. It's insane to think that thing could have withstood the speed, the trajectory, the forces of landing and taking off. It's made out of tinfoil. And they literally say that the walls of that thing were no thicker than, what, 3 or 4 layers of tinfoil?
Oh, yeah. And then the one of the many Achilles heels of liars is they start bragging in their fake reality and they go off book. Like this one was like, oh, yeah, we had a hole in it. So I plugged it with my finger. And then I'm like, that's not how vacuums work. And right. You just see the bragging. And the bragging is where they really get their – really, you know, the people that want the lie and they want the imagination and they don't want to admit that their greatest accomplishment, you know, 1969 was a very hard time in American history, and you have the world falling apart basically. And then you have that moment with your father or something, and you're watching this little screen and finally something good happens and you have that release of dopamine and you're like, it's a bonding feeling. And then people hold on to it because they're like, if it's a lie, that feeling I had with my dad's a lie and he's dead now. And, you know, and that is what traps the people. And I think there's certain people that are just have a higher tolerance for pain and pleasure. And I think a lot of those people are in the truth community because they're like, no, I can handle that. You know, I can have, because some people don't think that it's hard for me to admit a lot of shit. I'm like, do you know what I've faced from admitting these things? You know, like, you don't think I feel these things? You don't think I want to be able to be on PayPal, man? It makes my life a lot easier. You don't think I want to be able to live in the town with my brother without, you know, facing all the backlash and stuff? It's like, it's not about pleasure. It's about what is true. Because if you're not starting that foundation with a square, you can't build a structure. and I'm wrong all the time and I'm still trickable and all this stuff. Like, I'm not going to go with a lie because I know long term the price is so astronomical, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this, man. People genuinely like you. I had on John Barber and author Donald Jeffries the other day, and towards the end of the interview, I mentioned you. I said, Owen Benjamin, I like him because he's a source of consistent truth, and he's willing to say what needs to be said. And Donald Jeffries chimed in, oh, Owen Benjamin. Oh, yeah, I like him. He's very good. And yeah, people really like you, man. And it's because you are a consistent source of honesty. And sometimes the stuff you say is painful. Like, we don't have to go and talk about, you know, the nature of the earth we're living on specifically right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a bitter pill for a lot of people to swallow. And you went there. And I got to give you so much credit for that, because it's a scary topic, because it absolutely shatters paradigms. And I think, getting back to the moon landing just real quick, you said something really powerful. They gave us finally some good news. So they whack JFK, they whack RFK, they whack Martin Luther King, and then they give us the moon landings and they tell us we're the greatest nation on the planet.
History itself was written here by everyday people who accomplished the extraordinary. Tom Costello, NBC News, Houston.
What an amazing look back. We're going to have much more on this historic anniversary all this week on Nightly News. We hope you will join us. And that is NBC Nightly News for this Monday. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching. Have a great night, everyone.
So people buy that and we feel good about the moon landings. But then years go by and our optics reveal their lies, right? The technology is now so good that we can look back at that supposed technology that they say got us to do this incredible thing. And it just doesn't stand up to scrutiny. Just like their lies about coronavirus doesn't stand up to scrutiny. Just like World Trade Center 7 in the NIST report, it doesn't stand up to scrutiny.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, I would just ask people, use your critical thinking, trust your gut, and follow the sources, the trees that bear fruit. All right, last question.
True, dude. Well said.
Well, thanks, brother. Last question. How did you meet Amy? And you guys have three kids, right? One of whom is Charlie, the musician.
Yeah. We have Charlie, Walter, and Jack's on the way. Still in my wife's belly, but he's getting there. He's getting big.
That's awesome.
I met Amy when I was in Los Angeles, where I was walking my dog hungover after performing, and she was walking her dog, and we just started talking. And, you know, 9 years later, here I am. But she was there at USC to be a structural engineer, and I was doing comedy, and we were both a little, I'm not going to say broken, but we're both kind of in that Babylon path. And with a lot of pain, but a lot of beauty and a lot of love, we both kind of clawed our way out. And now it's like, I can't imagine my life if it had went any other direction. You know, she's just, it's really miraculous. It's helped me believe in God, to be honest with you, because it's like, looking back at how close I came to not having a family, or to think that marriage was somehow, you know, some sort of punishment or slavery, or I'm not going to be bridled. You know, I'm a wild stallion. I'm just so thankful that that she stuck with me and I stuck with her, and here we are. You know.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. All right. Well, I really want to thank you for your time today. Thanks for coming on. I'm really thrilled to have been able to speak with you, and I want people to be able to support you too. So it's unauthorized.tv, correct? Is that how people follow your stuff?
Yeah, and we have a documentary coming out called You're Doing Great, Kid, in the next week or two at unauthorized.tv that followed my my last tour. You know, I had to do like airplane hangars and wood shops and stuff, but we, you know, all sold out. The comedy was great. I did a special that's available at unauthorized.tv called You're Doing Great, Kid. And it's so interesting, is after this quarantine, now all the comedy clubs and theaters that turned me down are indefinitely closed. And so a lot of those, My more famous type comedian friends have just kind of subtly reached out to me, almost to be like, so what do we do? And I'm like, well, you have to be willing to understand that the comedy club does not define comedy. You can do comedy anywhere, and you have to trust that the people will come, you know? And also dlive.tv/Owen Benjamin comedy, that DLive has been, after I got kicked off YouTube, all good. Blessing, total blessing. DLive has been a great platform. And then bitchute.com/Owen Benjamin comedy. That's where people can find me. And if you want to write me a letter, P.O. Box 727 Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335. The U.S. mail system is still based on the American system and not the United States Corporation. So that's a very stable way to get in touch with me. And it's helped me build a giant mailing list in case, you know, the internet goes down or anything like that. I'm excited about the future, man. I'm excited about shedding and burning more dead wood of lies, you know?
Yeah, man. Well, I'm excited to see what you got coming in the future too. And I just want people to know, so unauthorized.tv, I think that's a very affordable subscription service, and it's a way to help Owen, who's been banned on just about everything. Didn't even ban you off of Patreon?
Yeah, Patreon, PayPal, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of it. And it's not even that I'm this like bad man. I think it was because I have so many credits from Hollywood. It was very destructive for them because, you know, when what's that? Bobby Fischer talked negatively about Zionism. That was very scary because it's one thing if it's just a dude. It's another thing if it's a very Jewish famous chess master, you know? So when I would talk about Spielberg, I think it really, or just some of these things, you know, it really, the censorship hammer came down on me incredibly hard because, you know, they couldn't just, you know, when you have two Comedy Central specials, I've been in movies, I've been in TV and stuff. It's a lot harder to just say, oh, that's a crazy person. And it's also a lot harder when it's like, oh, he's also funny and he's not, and he's not, and he doesn't want to hurt anyone.
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh, wow, a lot of these Jews are laughing. Like, oh, a lot of these black people are laughing. These narratives are not holding up with this guy. Ice him. And so that's why that happened. But long term, it's been great. DLive.tv/OwenBenjaminComedy, and then unauthorized.tv. It's a great place. We've embraced our unauthorized status, and now that the world may be flipping right side up again with this blowback, I think unauthorized is a badge of honor that we're not authorized by mainstream. Although this is weird, man. Starz just started playing one of my specials, which makes no sense because I've been banned. I don't know if there's something behind the scenes in Hollywood, a changing of the guard or what's happening, but that doesn't make any sense to me. Huh. So I'll keep you updated on to why on earth they're playing one of my specials. But interesting times we live.
Yeah, that's awesome. Starz is playing one of your specials. What's the special called that they're playing?
Oh, that one's Huge Pianist. I don't like own it or anything. It's just a good special that they're playing. And it doesn't, I mean, right now more people will be listening to this than watching Starz. It's not even about reach. It's just about like, it's not part of the algorithm. I don't know why they would do that, because my message, they don't like my message because it isn't scary. It isn't like, we got to get out there and kill somebody. So it doesn't make sense to me why they would do that. So I think there could be some good things in the future with the changing of the guard and the revealing of the sickness of this world, and how for every Podesta email, we got another family homeschooling. You know what I'm saying? And my neighborhood, it's like everybody homeschools. And so that is real. And if you live in a city right now and you're worried about all these things coming down the pipe, I feel for you, because cities right now do seem pretty bleak and people are acting scared and irrational and crazy. But, you know, if you get out in a rural America, a lot of it is very beautiful still. And a lot of people are reconnecting to their roots and traditions and faith and family. And they're realizing that they don't want their kids being raised by the people that have been revealed in these emails, you know?
Yeah. Well, I just want to make one last point, and it's this. The reason that I think the hammer came down hard on you is because you're affable, intelligent, likable, and you were gaining so much traction so quickly. That scared the hell out of them, right? So go to unauthorized.tv, get a subscription. You'll be supporting Vox Day, I believe, and Owen Benjamin. That's the two of you are on. That's your platform.
And a gardener, you know, David the Good, who shows you how to homestead. Also,
oh, cool.
A professor is teaching about Middle Ages. You know, you got Wrangler Star, who's also a YouTuber about homesteading. It's about moving forward. It's about the good, the true, and the beautiful. And it's about, you know, food and history and just embracing things that don't go thump in the night all the time, because that's something that me and all those guys I just listed have faced. You know, a lot of us have been unauthorized, and it's, what do you do once you see the monster? You know, do you just keep get mad at that monster? Do you say, what do I have to offer now? And mine is comedy, and some people have to offer how to grow a plant. And growing food, I can't recommend it enough. Even if it's one thing in your window, it reconnects you to the truth of nature, which cannot be lied about. It cannot be corrupted. It is true. A human being cannot make a tree. And so if you reconnect with that, you'll see your life. You will feel better, and you will see more beauty, because this is a crazy time, man. I've been down those roads where I'm like, how do I look at someone in the eye knowing what I know now? And it's like, you can look at a baby goat in the eye. You can grow. And then your family, like, really, you want to shame the devil, crush. You want to shame, bloom where you're planted, you know, shame the devil. Show him that you not only know who he is, but you're going to grow, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think what you're saying is resonating with this entire audience. So guys, again, unauthorized.tv, our guest has been Owen Benjamin. And man, let me know when that documentary comes out. If there's any way I can help you, you know, I'll tweet about it or whatever you need me to do. Just let me know.
That'd be awesome, man. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Owen. Thank you so much. And guys, for real news 24/7, visit us at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda and mockingbird mainstream media lies 24/7. God bless you.
You're going to see protests from people who've never protested before. And I think it's going to scare the politicians. And I think it's going to break up some of these centralized monopolies too, Sean.